My name's Emma. I'm one of the medical students here, and I'm hosting the podcast. Is it all right if you just introduce yourself to start with, please?
Yeah, thanks, Emma. Thanks for having me, first off. And my name is Emily Mountsey. I work at Musgrove Park Hospital, and I'm a paediatric orthopaedic surgeon and a mum of three gorgeous kids.
Important part to add there.
Important part, yeah.
So if you could just start by sort of kind of winding back a bit and just talking about where you started sort of training at med school maybe, and just kind of so we have a bit of context for your sort of training and background in your career.
Absolutely. So I went to med school in Cardiff. So spent my time doing my placements around Wales, really enjoyed it. Did my first orthopaedic placement in year three, I think. Mm-hmm. And then did my F1 and F2 in Cardiff in the Heath Hospital. Mm-hmm. It was quite a surgically orientated F1 and F2. Mm-hmm. And my first F2 job was in orthopaedics.
Okay. Is that kind of when you started to think you might be interested in it, in the job or maybe at med school?
Yeah, I think at med school, I've always wanted to do surgery, and I didn't really know what aspect of surgery that would be. And then as I kind of went through my F1 and F2, I realised that it probably wasn't going to be general surgery. Mm-hmm. And then when I did orthopaedics, I just quite enjoyed it. and it was a bit sort of serendipitous, really, because I had to just apply for CT placements. Mm-hmm. And I was in the orthopaedic job, and I thought, yeah, why not? I'll just do orthopaedics. So I probably didn't career plan as much as I might have done. But yeah, that's how I decided to do orthopaedics.
Okay, that's good. So you kind of, how did you sort of realise that you liked surgery? Because I think lots of students enjoy time in surgery. Some people really know they don't or do want to do it, and I think there's some people in the middle who kind of enjoy it sometimes, but they're not really sure. Like, what kind of things did you feel when you were kind of experiencing that and starting to find that you liked it?
Yeah, I think I've just always been quite a practical person, sort of as a kid, always liked doing crafty things, and that just carried on, really. So I knew that I wanted to do something with lots of practical skills.
Yeah.
And then when I spent time in theatre, it was just an environment that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed getting to sort of, learn new techniques. And it seemed like an area that you could just be quite hands-on. Mm-hmm. And have enjoy doing, even as a medical student, sort of learning how to suture and things like that. Yeah. Whereas on the wards and in clinics, it felt a bit more overwhelming. And like, I didn't really, I just had a less natural affinity for it, I suppose. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of people will resonate with that, the kind of practical side of it as well.
Yeah.
Lots of people say.
Yeah.
So what was the training like, your kind of core training for orthopaedics?
So core training when I did it was orthopaedically orientated. Mm-hmm. So in my CT1, I did 6 months of general surgery and then 6 months of orthopaedics. Mm-hmm. And then I did a year of orthopaedics. And I did that in Exeter. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I did my registrar training, which I did in Peninsula.
Yeah. Okay. And then at what point do you kind of specialise specifically in peds orthopaedics? Mm. And how common is that people do that?
Yeah, so I kind of went through my training as a registrar, enjoying lots of different aspects. So you tend to do 6 month jobs in sort of the various parts of the body.
Yeah.
So you do foot and ankle, shoulder surgery, and then arthroplasty surgery, which tends to be sort of hips and knees. Mm-hmm. And although I enjoyed it, some of the aspects of orthopaedics are quite repetitive, and I just found that less interesting. Mm-hmm. So it was in my ST5, I think. Mm-hmm. That I did a paediatric placement, and I just really enjoyed the clinics.
Yeah.
just playing with the kids, and just assessing them, and also when making decisions, it's just having to think about how they're going to grow, the fact that their bones are changing, and when you operate on them. Just that extra element for me was just really interesting.
Yeah, it does sound interesting, and it's not necessarily a specialty you're exposed to much as a medical student or necessarily as a junior doctor. So it's interesting to hear about the reasons why you liked that. So it was part of your reg training that you did more experience in that. And then does that allow you to sort of, for that to be a specialist area when you're a consultant?
Yeah, so that was my first exposure to peds. And then once I decided that that was the kind of direction I wanted to go in, I then tried to do a couple more jobs in paediatrics within my registrar training. But I also did a fellowship for a year. And so I went to Toronto to work at Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, which is a really high volume centre. So lots of really interesting paediatric cases, lots and lots of trauma, and just got really that specialist training to do paediatric orthopaedics out there. Then when I came back, sort of, that's what allows you really then to do peds orthopaedics as well as more general orthopaedics in your consultant role.
Okay, and so now kind of being a consultant, what's your day-to-day like, and how much does your kind of work at the moment include general orthopaedics as well as peds, or do you just focus on peds?
So I do a bit of both. So Taunton's a district general hospital, so we have a mixed trauma take, and I'm part of the orthopaedic trauma on call. So half of my role is that, so that's all ages, and then the other half of my role is paediatric orthopaedics, so it's two slightly separate sort of aspects of the job. And I enjoy both. If I had to choose, I probably would choose the paediatrics. But actually, having that sort of added interest of the adult trauma is also a good aspect of my job.
Yeah, keeps the variety even more so.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, my day to day is never the same. Day to day or even week to week. It's essentially a mix of clinics and operating. So I might start the day in the trauma meeting, which starts at 8 o'clock. And then that's when we kind of discuss all the patients that have come in over the last 24 hours from the trauma side of things, and make decisions as to how they're going to be managed. Then if you're on call on that day, then you would do a ward round of those patients and see them all. But if you're not on call, you might then spend some time in theatre or perhaps, in clinic. So it is just quite varied, which I definitely enjoy. On the paediatric side, I tend to work with lots of other sort of allied health professionals, which is definitely an aspect of my job that I really enjoy. So I work with really specialised, skilled physiotherapists who manage lots of the club feet and do a Ponseti technique with them. And then I work with specialist nurses who manage a lot of the Pavlik harness fitting for developmental hip dysplasia for little babies. Working with that kind of really broad team is something about paediatric orthopaedics that that I enjoy.
And do you see children of a wide range of ages as well?
Yeah, literally from when they're born, a few days after they're born, to up to 18 really. And then they get passed on to the adult side of things.
That's quite cool that you've kind of got those two sides to your job, because not many people would do peds and adult. I guess you could do specialist areas within medicine, but I think lots of people enjoy peds, but it's quite nice that you've got both, I guess.
It is really nice, and I think I like the continuity of the peds as well. So some kids who might have quite complex conditions, I'll meet when they're really young, and you know, I've known them for my whole consultant career, and they know me, and you get a bit of that continuity, which I think is a really, it's a really nice aspect.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of already touching on it a bit, but what do you think are the best parts about about your job? One of them maybe being that continuity with...
Yeah, I think most surgeons would say that the best part of their job is operating. When you're actually, when you're in theatre, you're doing something that you've thought about for ages, because you do tend to plan and think about the operations that you're going to do and the, the patients, you know, and what they need and how it will impact them. So it's something that you've planned and thought about. It might be something that's quite technically difficult, and then in the moment you're just fully concentrated on that, and then hopefully afterwards it's gone well, and that's probably the number one best thing about being an orthopaedic surgeon. But that said, I do, as I've mentioned, do really enjoy clinics and you know, meeting my patients. Sometimes their parents can be a bit challenging, but the patients are usually great, and that can be pretty fun.
And what do you think maybe are the harder parts of the job, or something that you may have struggled with in the past but have kind of...
I think I mean, obviously you have the odd tricky patient, tricky case, and that can be challenging, but I think for me the number one challenge is balancing being a mum and being a surgeon. That's probably my biggest challenge, because I think ultimately I'm not willing to sacrifice one or the other. And so that that balance has been really hard since I've been a consultant. I think there's often a feeling that you can't be a surgeon and have a family and have a life outside the hospital, but you definitely can. And I hope that more and more people see that and do that, because the more people in a specialty that want to have a life outside the hospital, you know, the better that specialty will be, the more diverse it can be, the better it will be. So I think that's an important thing to say.
I guess if only the people who are very diehard for that specialty, who really do want to live and breathe it, if they're the only people that go in, that won't change. There's that kind of adjustment period though, which is kind of what you're talking about, where things are changing but it's not quite...
But I, you know, I definitely want to be, you know, at home in the evenings when the kids get back from school, you know, being able to read them stories before bed. You know, it drives me crazy at times, but I definitely want to be part of it. And some days I can't, because some days I am working late, but actually I have managed to create a job plan where mostly I can get home and I can see the kids, and that's really important to me. So I think once you're a consultant, you can to a certain extent have a bit more control over your job plan and make it work for you, although that does sometimes feel like a bit of a battle, like it is possible, and I think that's important to know as well.
Do you still do nights and weekends? You do?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so I do a full-time on-call slot, and so that means that I'm on-call 24 hours every 3 weeks during the weekdays, and I work 1 in 10 weekends. But they're split weekends, so actually I do a Saturday or a Sunday, 1 in 5.
And how do you find that, sort of needing to still do some of those more abnormal shifts?
I don't... The weekends are probably... Like, the overnights are fine, we don't often operate out of hours, mm-hmm. Which is great. But yeah, the weekends do feel, you know, I would prefer not to do them,
yeah,
because it kind of eats into that family time.
Yeah.
My other half also does weekends, so sometimes it feels like you don't have that many weekends
yeah.
to yourselves. But it is, I think, part of hospital medicine.
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't come around too often.
It gets less as you progress.
Not
does it, the ratio, well, as in compared to if you're in training and things.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah. Yeah. That's
something to hold
true.
On to.
That's definitely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it kind of the total volume of work or the hours, or is there any particular aspect of it that you think makes that tricky, that balance?
I think surgery, you know, as we know, and there's been a lot of discussion about it in the media recently,
yeah.
Is still quite male dominated.
Yeah.
And I think there just is still some catching up to be done,
mm-hmm.
in terms of accepting that people do want a good work-life balance,
yeah.
and that being a surgeon maybe isn't your whole life
yeah.
goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to express that within a workplace that is quite male dominated
yeah.
has at times been frustrating for me. And my husband also works full time, and so we are just quite a busy household.
Yeah.
and you know,
three small ones too.
Yeah. So I've got twins who are 7 and our little one's just about to turn 3, so they're still young, and life's busy, and
mm-hmm.
So I think for me that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
And I think orthopaedics isn't currently the most flexible.
Okay.
There isn't currently anyone who works less than full time in my department.
Okay.
And so I've recently wanted to do that,
mm-hmm.
and being able to kind of make that happen has been a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're nearly there, but it has taken some time, and
yeah.
I think that has been a big challenge for
yeah.
me in work at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense, and it sounds like something that a lot of people would probably resonate with as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that experience, I mean, it's maybe hard to speak for other people broadly, but do you think that experience is quite common across surgical specialties?
I think all surgical specialties are a little bit different. You know, obviously orthopaedics is what I know about, but for example, in obs and gynae, there are definitely, obs and gynae, ophthalmology, I think even ENT in this hospital, there are less than full-time surgeons, and there's loads. There's pretty much every other specialty but orthopaedics, I think. I can think of a
okay.
less than full-time consultant. So, but I think that's right. Surgery is
yeah.
lagging behind other specialties.
Yeah.
And I think it is changing. When I was a registrar, there weren't any less than full-time registrars in my deanery,
mm-hmm.
whereas now there are lots of part-time registrars, and they're, you know, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
We've had guys taking extended paternity leave, and I think it is great that that is becoming
yeah.
more recognised and more accepted, because it should be.
Yeah.
So I'm very hopeful that, you know, things are changing and
yeah.
moving in the right direction. And that hopefully less than full-time working, you know, in surgery will be just the norm.
Yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
no reason it can't be.
Yeah.
Like, it's
possible in others, it's
yeah,
possible there. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
any other job. It's definitely possible. It's just a mindset change
yeah.
from our colleagues and our managers.
Yes.
And that is coming.
Changing that organisational level of
yeah.
how it's run.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I've kind of experienced it from the perspective of being a student, and there is discussion around encouraging women to get into theatres and get experience and not be put off by that imbalance, maybe in the numbers of men and women in surgery. Do you think, from your perspective, you see that change as people come up through SHO and reg level? Do you think it has changed?
It has changed. It definitely has changed, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is still a massive drop off in, you know, I think, you can maybe correct me, but I think there's maybe about 70% of medical students are female.
Yes,
and then,
it's very high.
Yeah, and less than 5% at consultant level in surgical jobs. So there's a huge drop off, and, you know, there's been plenty of work done on why that is. But yeah, you can't be what you can't see is kind of like the phrase, isn't it? And I'm always a bit torn, in all honesty, because I think it is a relatively tough job, because of what we talked about, because of those organisational, like, ingrained beliefs about being a surgeon. But on the flip side, it's a brilliant job. It's really fun, and there are, you know, aspects of my job that I really love, and I can't imagine doing anything else in medicine and enjoying it as much as I enjoy Peds Orthopaedics.
But that's really good.
But that's not to say that there haven't been challenges.
Yeah.
So I would definitely encourage, I hope that I do encourage medical students and junior doctors to pursue a career in surgery. And I hope that some of the challenges that I'm having at the moment will get easier as time goes by. And I think it is changing, definitely.
So going or to juniors now, are there any tips you have or advice that you think you've picked up along the way?
I think I kind of fell into orthopaedics. I didn't think about it too hard at the time. So I think I would be more mindful about the choices that I made. And I would encourage people to look at how your life will, you know, look at what your life will be when you're a consultant, because training is quite a small part of your career. So I think being mindful of that is really important. But ultimately, if it's something you think you'll enjoy, then yeah, you should go for it and seek out the people that you do resonate with. I think one of the reasons I enjoy paediatric orthopaedics is that when I go to paediatric orthopaedic meetings, there are lots of people that are like me. And that's not just women, although I think peds does attract quite a lot of female surgeons. But they're the guys that also perhaps think a bit more the way that I think as well. And so I think it's all about finding your finding your clan, finding your group, and looking at that when you're making choices as well.
That kind of like-minded
group.
You definitely get quite a lot of advice, I think, from people saying look at what the consultants in a specialty are like, whether you get on with people, and also whether you want to do their job, because it is really difficult, I think, at this stage, to not just think about the training, which feels at this point like quite a big undertaking, because it's probably longer than you've been at med school if you're at that point. But I think it's a good reminder to to look a bit past that.
Of course, although you do obviously have to still enjoy the training,
because
that's still your life. It's not like when you become a consultant, suddenly everything changes. It's still just your day-to-day. But, you know, you can train flexibly in orthopaedics. That's absolutely possible, and lots of people do. And you can definitely be a flexible consultant as well, although I'm still slightly working on that.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Stay tuned.
Exactly. I'm aware that we maybe haven't addressed the elephant in the room, which is sexism in orthopaedics, which... obviously has been in the press recently as a huge problem, sexism in surgery, but orthopaedics in particular. And so to not talk about it feels slightly amiss.
Yeah.
Because I think there is a problem. But what I can say is that within our department and within our organisation, it is being taken really seriously, yeah, and it is being looked at. And I think everyone is still working on being better at it.
Yeah.
I think I absolutely have experienced sexism,
yeah,
in my workplace. And I, you know, I do continue to have a sort of inappropriate comments, inappropriate messages on our work WhatsApp group. And it is just, I feel like there's just so much education that needs to happen, yeah, to make it better.
Yeah.
But again, I think that is changing.
Yeah.
And I think that paper that highlighted the problem has, mm-hmm, just brought it to the forefront, mm-hmm, of, it's just brought it to the forefront, and now people are talking about it, which has got, yeah, to be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably something that people feel in lots of areas of medicine, but I can imagine especially in surgery.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess, orthopaedics just has that reputation, and so it's really interesting to speak to somebody who's actually in it and has been in that for a long time as well. Because we only really rotate very briefly through these, yeah, specialties.
I mean, I think for me, thankfully, I've never experienced what I would sort of call like high level sexism, you know, mm-hmm, any physical assault or anything like that. But for me, it's the lower level,
yeah,
kind of what some people would call banter
that, yes, I just, yeah, yeah,
it's just not funny. or even if it is funny in a kind of bar pub,
like out of context.
Social context, yeah, it's not funny in a workplace,
yeah,
because you're surrounded by people who you maybe don't know as well,
yeah,
like, you know, nurses, medical students, training doctors, yeah, particularly in theatre,
yes,
that does yeah, tend there's to a be lot where of, it happens.
There's a lot of people in the room,
yeah,
in theatre who are also not necessarily in that central kind of spot doing the operating, but,
yeah,
are still in the room and definitely hear all of those things.
Exactly. And you don't know what their background thoughts are, and they don't know your relationship to the person,
yeah,
that you're having the conversation with. So I think, yeah, I think just being really mindful of, mm-hmm, of that. I think we're all getting better at it, but I think it's getting better. Slowly.
Progress.
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 That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Emily for joining us on this episode of the podcast and for sharing her experiences so candidly. We really hope this has been interesting and helpful for listeners. This is also a good opportunity to mention a new release of articles on the Geekomedics website called Preparation for Practice. These are guides to help junior doctors manage common clinical scenarios. They're particularly helpful for those who, like me, are preparing to enter their F1 year this summer. We really hope these are helpful, and thanks again. Bye!